Okay. All right, this lesson tonight that we're going to do is actually from one of my books, the first book that I actually wrote and published. So talking about salvation, and it is a very important subject because, let's face it, that's why we're here. We want to be saved. And so that's why we're focusing on that. And so our focus is going to be upon the ultimate salvation of ending up in heaven. That's what we look forward to as Christians. We know we're saved from our sins, but we want to end up in heaven. And that will be the ultimate salvation. See, the Bible speaks often upon the subject of salvation. And a careful study would reveal different meanings for the word and various ways in which salvation is received or accomplished. And in most of the Old Testament, the word is applied to physical matters. In other words, salvation from your enemies, salvation from drought, salvation from this or that, but always and rarely is it used in a spiritual sense. Not till you get into the prophets do you actually find the word that kind of leaves that impression that it's a spiritual matter, not just a physical matter. And in the New Testament, the word applies to spiritual matters. And it rarely ever talks about salvation from your enemies or anything like that. This salvation is the salvation of our souls. And so that's what the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And often on the radio and television and from the pulpits of many denominations across our land, the sincere cry is made that man is saved by faith only. See, man is saved by faith, there's no doubt about that. But when you put in that word only, that means that's the only one, that's the only thing. So, I mean, through that reasoning, you don't need God, you don't need Jesus, we don't need the Bible, we don't need to go to church, we don't need anything because we're saved by faith only. And so, people who throw that word only in there, they basically eliminate everything else and some important things. So, this phrase is heard so frequently that it would seem that it is the central focus on every other page in the scriptures. You'd think the Bible would be teaching this concept of faith only because they talk about it so much, but it does not. It's not so. Actually, there is only one verse in the entire Bible in which the expression faith only or faith alone is used. That's James 2:24. And the exact quote is, "By works a man is justified, and not by faith only." So that's where you find it in the Bible. Alright. See, never does God's word speak of one thing by which man is saved, and then follow that one thing with the word only. We know there's a lot of things by which man is saved. I mean, saved from his sins. There's a lot of factors involved, but none of them use the word only. For to do so automatically excludes any other necessity. And we don't want that to happen. For example, to say the Christian has been saved by faith, by the blood of Christ, by grace, or by baptism is all very scriptural, but man violates God's word when he says that one can be saved by faith only, or by the blood of Jesus only, or by grace only, or by baptism only. So that word only does present a problem, and it's a problem that we have to deal with because other people talk about that. Adding that little word only after any of the various factors by which the Bible shows one is saved, it will automatically exclude all the rest. I mean, that's just simple English language. You put in the word only, that means it. That's the only one. That's the only way, only thing. So therefore, if one were saved by grace only, believing and repenting would not be necessary. But a further investigation into God's word shows that one is saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8. and that one must repent. You know, Luke 13:5, and looking further reveals that faith without works is dead. Now, Ephesians 2 and verse 5, he says, by grace are you saved. I mean, that period, that's all it says, by grace are you saved. But then we have to look at the rules of hermeneutics and interpretation. Who is he speaking to? Paul was writing to Christians, and the letter was written to the Christians at Ephesus. And they had obeyed the gospel. They were doing their best to serve God the best way they could. And that's when Paul could say, you are saved by grace. And so we put it all together. By grace through faith. You know, I read an article yesterday. A friend of mine in Alabama put this on there. He says, one verse religion. Some people will just take that one verse from Acts 22:16. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, Acts 2:16. Acts 2:22. All right. Whoever calls on the name will be saved. I mean, for a lot of people, that's all they need to hear. They don't need to investigate further. They don't want to go any farther. They don't want to learn what else God has to say. Hey, one verse, that's good enough. I mean, all I have to do is call on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus. How many people call on the name of the Lord in a cursing way? Speaking the name of Jesus. I mean, that is not providing salvation for anybody. And so, we must not leave anything out. That's the point of this lesson. Yes, we there are certain things that we have to do, and they're vital for us to do, but we just need to make sure that we don't leave anything out. And so that means we're going to have to study God's Word to find out what's in God's Word so that we don't make any mistakes. You know, this is what David did when he transported the Ark of the Covenant, trying to get it back to Jerusalem. They put it on a new cart. And what happened? They go along, the oxen stumbles, the ark's about to tip over, so Uzzah has to stay his hands up on it, and he's struck dead. They didn't read the instructions. I mean, when all else fails, you go and read the instructions, right? That's what they tell us men all the time, ain't that right, Al? Yep. If it ain't working right, go read the instructions. So we don't want to leave anything out. We need to each have a comprehensive view of the gospel, lest we become guilty of omitting that which God intended for us to include as part of the plan of his scheme of redemption. And that's very important. And sadly, some people choose not to study God's word, not to be able to handle it aright and divide it properly. And though a person could never merit or earn their salvation by works, this is not to say that salvation is a passive thing in which no necessary response is required of the one who would be saved. We have something to do. And this is where a lot of people get it wrong. They say, well, Christ did all the work. God did all the work. So man doesn't have to do anything. But if you read the Bible, yes, man does have to do things. So we need to see what those things are. And so there are conditions that must be met. And when they are met, our faith has been made complete by obedient action. James 2:21-23. Remember, this is where it says, be not a hearer of the law only, but an effectual doer of the law. And so we need to be a doer of the law. So that means obedience is in there. And the concept of obedience is taught repeatedly in the scriptures. And so Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Yes, he made it possible for everyone, but only those who obey him are going to have this salvation. And as he himself states in Luke 6:46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Now, logic would suggest that if there was only one thing that was necessary, he would say thing. But no, he said things. There's things that you need to do. Things which I say, plural. Not just one thing, such as just believe in my deity or just call my name. And so there's more to it. And we must know that. And if we want to have a saving faith, we must comply with God's righteous demands by doing that which he commands us in order to become a Christian and in order to continue in the faith as one. We just need to do it. Now, we don't have to explain why we have to do it. God said do it, that ought to be enough. We don't have to sit there and reason out all the reasons. What does dipping yourself in water have to do with salvation? You can look at it from a human standpoint. You're just getting somebody wet. You're getting their clothes wet. And they're going to be uncomfortable all day walking around in wet clothes or something. I mean, things like that. We don't have to know. We just know that we need to do it. Now, you look at Hebrews chapter 11. What do we see? By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, was told to build an ark, and he did so. By faith, Abraham got up and went to a place which he did not know, which God would show him. By faith, I mean, just keeps going on and on. Moses operated by faith. And so, we need to comply with God's commands by doing what he commands us. I mean, sometimes it might think about, if you think about it and started thinking about it, well, that's dumb. That's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. And if you're looking from a human perspective, you're right. I'll agree. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Why one would go down into the water and be baptized and burial in water? I mean, so for some people, they can't get their head around the human factor, and they reject what God says and commands. See, we know it's God's desire that none perish, but rather for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And this is what he wants for all mankind. And this is why he gave his son, Jesus, to die on the cross and pay the penalty of sin for every transgressor. Because we know everybody transgresses. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of his glory. But if we want to benefit from the blood of Christ and that sacrifice that he made, we must meet his necessary conditions. Our heart has to be right, and we have to have the right understanding of what we're doing. I mean, if you're doing something without thinking, then you're not doing it by faith. And Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. All right, so now, by what is a person saved? I mean, some people like these little lists. You know, Dave Letterman had his top 10 list. Top 10 list for this, top 10 list for that. And we see it all the time on social media. Top 10 reasons to believe in God. Top 10 reasons to do this. And some people read that list and they get down to the end. Okay, I'm doing all right. And they stop right there. See, this lesson is going to show that which pertains to God and that which pertains to man in the Lord's plan of salvation. And yes, there are many factors in the Bible proclaims by which one is ultimately saved. And we're just going to notice a few of them. And we've heard these over and over, but we're going to be making a point as we go along. And some of these things, I never thought of that. You know, kind of like we discussed this morning. Growth is a command. And a lot of people don't treat it as a command. All right. See, God must be and has to be at the forefront and top of any list concerning salvation because he's the one that provides it. So yes, God is necessary. We know that. And God includes the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And some of these things that we're going to talk about are the actions that deity has done for our salvation. God provided his mercy. God showed his grace. He had favor upon us. And God looked and saw that man was unable to save himself, so he provided a way which man could be saved. And Jesus, he came to this earth, and he died on the cross for us, and he willingly came and sacrificed himself for that purpose. And the Holy Spirit has been active in teaching us all these things. And so we're not going to go through the whole list, and you'll know why in just a minute. You know, God sent his son. Jesus died on the cross. The Holy Spirit guided the early church. I mean, so these are things that they did to help develop the church of what we have today. All right. Many of these things in this list are the actions required of you. I mean, we have to do things. In order to receive and keep our salvation, we have to remain faithful. We have to keep doing things. We have to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We need to assemble with the saints. There's a lot of things we need to do. And one thing to remember is the fact that you are responsible for your own salvation. I mean, we emphasize that a lot. We discussed that this morning. Everybody has a responsibility on their own part because they will stand before God and give an account of their actions. We're not going to have to give an account of what our neighbor did or what our friends did or our spouse did or our children or our parents did. We're all going to give an account of what I did. So, now, we also realize we can have a part in the salvation of others, you know, by setting the right example and answering the questions they might have about our faith and teaching them and encouraging them to obey the gospel. And there's a host of other actions that we can do for others. We're commanded to edify one another. And that is a command. And there's really a whole lot of commands. What do we say? Over 10,000 commands in the New Testament alone? So many of these things on this list, and I'm not going to go through the whole list. That would take about 4 hours. So I'm not going to do that. These things on this list accomplish some of the same actions. Like the blood of Jesus, the grace of God, they still accomplish the same thing because they're related. Because Jesus Christ is the grace of God when you want to look at it in that way. All right. Though some of these things may not seem significant, I'm sure you will see that we cannot have salvation without them in our lives. And this is where a lot of people are going to be confused, because they've just heard something very simple like hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and that's it. And that's really all they seem to hear, apparently, because they don't develop any farther. So we should never give up trying to be saved. And even if we know our Bibles, even if we study a lot and we're doing our best to do these things, we can never be so complacent that we're not continuing to study. It should never get to that point. We should never be complacent about our salvation. We can't really treat it as a given. Now, it's been promised. We have the hope of it. But it's not a guarantee. It is a hope. And so we have to be working on our salvation. Just like Paul told the Philippians, work out your own salvation. So remember that doing what is necessary for salvation is not easy, but it is simple to understand. And we can teach it. So remember to do diligence. You know, we serve God, and we faith. We believe in God, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to supply that diligence. And it is a quality that is repeated often in the Bible. Get you a Bible dictionary or a concordance and see how many times the word diligence is used. All right, now God's plan of salvation. Yes, we've talked about that. We usually present the five-finger simplified version. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. But that falls short, far short. And many seem to ignore what else is necessary for our salvation. And some even consider that if they have done this, that it is enough. No, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of our spiritual journey, is just the washing away of our sins. So that would be wrong to think that was enough. See, one of the things that we're told is to abide in the Lord. Now, you probably never considered this is one of those things necessary for our salvation, but yet, I mean, you can't be saved without it. Here's the point with this list that we have. You abide in the Lord, I mean, then you're on the right track. But if you don't abide in the Lord, I mean, let's notice a few passages. Just exactly what does that mean? Can you be saved without doing this? Well, if you know your Bible, you know the answer is no. We have to abide in the Lord. John 15, 1 through 10, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And that describes our relationship with Jesus. So we have to be in Jesus. That's where all of our spiritual blessings are in Jesus. Ephesians 1, 3. And in Romans 8, 1, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And those, so that's true. If we are in Christ, we're in a right relationship with Him. And so the condemnation can be avoided by such. But we have to be in Jesus. That's what it means to abide. Well, if I ask you, where do you abide? Most of you would probably understand that means, where do I live? We can give you the address. I mean, we have a physical address that we can point people to. Some people say, where do you stay? I mean, sometimes, well, I stay at the Holiday Inn whenever I'm out traveling. No, stay is where you live. And that's what it means. That's how a lot of people understand that word. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And 1 John 5, 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then, come on, 2 John 9, anyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. So abiding is important. We have to know that. I mean, let's look at another one. Add to your faith. I mean, I already got faith. I had enough faith to be baptized. What's the command after that? Add to your faith. That's what Peter told the people. You add to your faith. If you do not add to your faith, will you be saved? Well, the answer is no. See, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 12, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if you do these things, you will not stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, Peter also mentioned, if you don't do these things, you are blind and short-sighted, having forgotten the purification of your sins. And so, if you do these things, you'll guarantee your salvation as long as you are adding to your faith. And so, how long is that supposed to take place? 2 years? 3 years? 5 years? No, the rest of your life. You've got to add to your faith. And these are but a few. I mean, just two things specifically, but these are just a few things, and there are many more. You want to know how many more? About 300 things. 300 things necessary for our salvation. Now, do you know what they are? Okay. We got to work on that. Well, that's what I've been trying to do, working on that. All right, you must remember that you have the choice to do these things. When God tells you you need to do something, it's your choice. I mean, we realize a lot of people make poor choices. A lot of people make the wrong decision. They choose not to study God's word. And you know what? They're going to be found lacking. Their lives are put in the balance, and they're going to be found wanting, just like the king in Daniel chapter 5. I mean, so remember that it is your responsibility to learn what these things are. All right. If a person is to benefit from any of this, they must accept it and apply it to their lives. And what we're talking about basically is what the Bible teaches. A person, if they're going to benefit by receiving salvation, they're going to have to live the way God wants them to live. The only way that's going to happen is if they learn. See, Paul told the Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 and verse 12. And Paul meant that he could not do it for them. And I can't do it for you. Nobody else here can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And so that's what they had to do. And so not only in an individual sense, but in a collective sense. I mean, as a collective, we have a responsibility to keep the church pure. And so that means all of us working together, make sure we're doing what God tells us to do. That's what we call by following sound doctrine and following that teaching. And so that is necessary for our salvation. See, each of us, however, will stand before God and give an account of our individual actions and our faith. See, no one will stand in your place. See, Jesus stood in your place one time and died for you, but that was to suffer the penalty that you were under. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus took it upon himself to die in your stead. So, no one's going to stand up and take your place. I mean, would you really want to? I mean, we don't. We know there's some people who really, from all appearance, are faithful and very strong Christians. But you know what? We never know. We hear things all the time about how some preacher molested this little girl, or somebody who had the confidence of others slept with someone's wife or something like this. I mean, human nature still takes place. And so would you want somebody else standing in your place? I don't think so. You're taking a great big chance. So we're going to have to stand on our own. And that means we need to be ready to stand. See, the things which save are simple to understand and do. It's just a matter of putting them into application. So it does require a lot of effort and discipline. It does. I mean, it's easier if you have your mind set on doing what God wants you to do. It's kind of easy to do, but you have to be disciplined, because Satan is trying to attack you with all sorts of distractions and all sorts of things that get you away from the truth. And sometimes it's through false teachers, and sometimes it's just the suggestions you get in this world. I mean, sometimes you drive down the freeway and look up on a billboard and see a half-clothed woman and I don't know, maybe, hey, wow, okay, something like that. I mean, things like that happen. So it takes commitment. It takes dedication and effort. It takes a lifetime to accomplish. And we can never give up lest we lose what we have gained. And we hear that enough, don't we? Use it or lose it. And that's very true. So think about that. And if you want that book, I can order some and get you some. Some of you have it. But anyway, think about those things. That's our lesson. There's a lot involved. And I could just start going through and listing things that are necessary and things that people probably never ever considered. Really? You mean I have to have that? Well, you can't be saved without it. See, that's obedience. Well, does obedience save? Well, it works in conjunction with our faith and God's grace. But yes, obedience does save. But can you be saved without obedience? That's how we need to look at these things. You say, abiding in the Lord. Well, I never thought about that, but can you be saved if you're not abiding in the Lord? The answer is no. That's how we test these things out. Can I be saved without it? And you might think, maybe there's some things in his look that you might be able to get away with by not knowing them. No, it doesn't work that way. So think about those things. That's our lesson. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need, respond. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.